بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألا بذكر الله تطمئن القلوب وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يزال لسانك رطبا من ذكر الله أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Respected and honorable elders, my young friends and mothers and sisters who may be listening at home, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I would like to mention a very short hadith which probably some of you may have read or heard. It is a very interesting hadith which starts off with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says to the famous companion Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiyallahu anhu, Wallahi inni la'uhibbuk. The Prophet ﷺ is telling Mu'adh ibn Jabal, it's not the other way around. He says, Wallahi, he takes an oath in the name of Allah and he says, indeed, I love you. Just let's pause for a moment. You know, if today someone famous or a very pious servant of Allah, a pious servant of Allah, they said this to us, would that not make us happy? Yes?
Yes.
Extremely happy. This is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying with his own tongue, with his own mouth, to a companion, Mu'adh ibn Jabal, that indeed, do I love you? Subhanallah. That is priceless. It is enough for a person to be happy for the rest of their lives. And it is important, this is a sunnah. If you love someone, you should love someone for the sake of Allah, and you should also hate someone for the sake of Allah. If you love someone for the sake of Allah, you should tell them, as this is a sunnah. Our Prophet ﷺ did that. So the person can reciprocate in the same way as well. You understand? So if you love someone for the sake of Allah, you should tell them. I don't think so. This sunnah is very common amongst the Asian community. In other communities, I've heard it a few times. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says to him that do not leave to say the following supplication at the end of every salah. So at the end of every salah, do not forget, do not leave to read the following supplication. Before I mention the supplication, the dua, some scholars have interpreted this part of the hadith that it should be read at the end of salah before we do assalamu alaikum, assalamu alaikum. This is when we should read it. And some say you can also read it after the salam as well. Both views are correct, but I think the more preferred and the more correct view is that it should be read before the salam. Because it is a dua. And whatever you read after salam becomes a dhikr. Yes, it becomes a dhikr. So there's a big difference between dhikr and dua. So, normally we finish the salah with tashahud and durood and Allahumma inni zalamtu. So you can also, if you want to add on Allah, the dua which I will mention, you can read that as well before we say assalamu alaikum. So the dua which Prophet ﷺ taught him and taught all of us to read is Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. A very beautiful, short, comprehensive dua. Three parts to the dua. And inshallah, we'll try to cover all three things, inshallah. So first of all, we are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us and to assist us in doing three things, because without the help, without the assistance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nothing is possible. Nothing is possible. We have come to the masjid for Salatul Asr. We didn't come with our own accord. We were invited by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to come. Hum aaye nahi, hum laaye gaye yahan par. It's a big difference. We should be extremely happy. We should count ourselves fortunate that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during this blessed month has invited us to His house. Imagine how many hundreds and thousands of people who have not able to pray their Salatul Asr inside the masjid with Jama'ah. Just think about it. But the fact Allah Ta'ala has chosen us, He has selected us. He has selected us. And we should thank Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala for that. And there are many ways how we can thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I shall mention them today, inshallah, if time permits me, inshallah. My dear brothers and sisters, in the 12th juz of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ. Allah says, listen. أَلَا in Arabic is to get someone's attention. The word Allah in the Arabic language is used to get someone's attention. So Allah says, Allah, listen. بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ, do hearts find satisfaction. Do hearts find sukoon. Do hearts find a peace of mind. Sukoon, contentment, satisfaction. Today we all want a peace of heart, a peace of mind. We all want sukoon. We want our hearts to be happy, relaxed. Yes? Tension-free. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if you want your heart to be like that, there is only one place you will find that. Your hearts will only find satisfaction and sukoon by you remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Zikrullah, the word Zikrullah, although we are normally we refer to Zikrullah as doing a wird of certain words, but Zikrullah is not just restricted to the tasbih or the certain words we repeat. It is not just restricted to that. Someone said something very beautiful. They said, every time a person obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are a dhakir. Yeah, dhakir means someone who remembers Allah. They said, every time you obey, you are obedient to Allah, that means you are a dhakir. You know, example. Let's say example. This is only an example, okay? A person was about to go, he took his phone out and he wanted to go on a certain wrong website. Yes? He was about to do it. He had 100% intention to go on a wrong website. Okay? And then he thought to himself, yaar, it's Ramadan, man. I'm fasting. It's Ramadan. So, it is Ramadan because Allah has made it Ramadan. He is fasting because Allah has told him to fast. So in essence, he didn't go on that website because of who? Because of Allah. Is he a dhakir or not? Is he a dhakir or not? Yes. Because the thought of Allah came to his mind, which stopped him or her doing that wrong action. So every time you obey Allah and you refrain from disobedience of Allah, in reality that person is a dhakir, because whatever good they did and whatever wrong they refrained from was only because of the thought of Allah coming to their minds. Yes or no? So that person is a dhakir. And dhikr, the actual dhikr of remembering Allah is so unique to other forms of worship, other forms of ibadat. In example, lest we are in the month of Ramadan. Only in the month of Ramadan is fasting compulsory. No other month in the Islamic calendar is fasting compulsory. Yes? Then in the month of Ramadan, from dawn till sunset, fasting is compulsory. You shouldn't start before dawn, and you shouldn't continue fasting after sunset. This is a fixed time. It doesn't matter how pious you are. It doesn't matter what a big buzrug you are, what a big sheikh you are. You are not allowed to fast after sunset. Yes or no? The hadith says, when it is sunset, break your fast. Don't delay in breaking your fast. It doesn't matter how pious you are. So again, the time is restricted. The month of fasting is also restricted. Let's take Asr Salah. Asr Salah has 4 sunnat, 4 farad. And someone is really geared up. They're in that mode of worshipping Allah, and they're thinking, because I'm in that mode, I'm going to pray extra 2 more rakats of Asr. I'll make it 10 instead of 8. Is it allowed? No. It's not allowed. Allah has fixed it. You have to just pray that much. Doesn't matter how big shot you think you are. When it comes for Hajj, doesn't matter how much money you have, how much free time you have, Hajj is in a fixed Islamic month in the fixed days. Okay? You can't do it in any month or any day of any month. No, it's a prescribed month and the prescribed days. When it comes to dhikr, Allah says, وَالذَّاكِرِينَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا وَالذَّاكِرَاتِ. Allah says, الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ. Subhanallah. When it comes to dhikr, there's no limit. The sky is your limit. When it comes to salah, there's a limit. When it comes to fasting, there's a limit on how the time you can fast. The month you can fast is, everything has a limit. Zakat is a fixed amount of zakat, 2.5%. But when it comes to dhikr, the sky is your limit. Do dhikr as much as you can. My sheikh told us once, itna zikr karo, itna zikr karo ke log tumko pagal ko keh de. Do so much dhikr that people start to think that you've lost the plot, you've gone mad. That is how much dhikr you should do. And dhikr is so unique that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, those people who remember Allah standing, sitting, even lying down. Look how flexible Allah is. When it comes to dhikr, look how flexible Allah is. Very flexible. Normally people are in one of the three positions normally. They are either standing, sitting, or lying down. I'll be very surprised if there's another position people are in. But this is how unique and how flexible Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is when it comes to dhikr. You can do it as and when you like. No restriction, there's no time limit. You know, for example, when it's zawal time, can you pray salah when it's zawal time, midday? No. When it comes to dhikr, no restriction. Do as much as you can. Once a companion came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that, you know, there are so many injunctions, as I say, there are so many teachings, and I don't think so I will able to, you know, remember everything. Just give me one advice that I shall hold on to, that one advice for the rest of my life. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لا يزال لسانك رطبا من ذكر الله. If you want one advice, keep your tongues moist in the remembrance of Allah. What a beautiful advice. He didn't say keep your tongues moist in talking about politics or talking about football or, you know, doing backbiting or whatever. No, just keep your tongues moist in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there are so many things we can do wird of, we can supplicate, we can read, so many. Once the famous companion Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiyallahu anhu, he was walking behind the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and very, very softly he was reading la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, la hawla. This is something which we should bring in our life. This is not a normal, these are not normal words, my dear brothers and sisters. These are words from the treasures which is underneath the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it has so many benefits, so many benefits. So he was very softly saying, repeating, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. You know, example, mashallah, probably all of you live close by to the masjid, yes? Some of you drive to the masjid, some of you walk to the masjid. Just that time when you come to the masjid and when you go back, rather than just let it go past doing nothing, use that time for dhikrullah. So it's not like you are taking that special time for dhikr. Sometimes people think, yeah, I'm so busy. Okay, you're busy. I know we live in London. I know we are busy, yes? But if you really ponder, you know, these small moments, for example, when you come to the masjid and when you go back. Let's say, example, it takes you 5 minutes to come, 5 minutes to go back. That's 10 minutes. Five times a day. That's 50 minutes. In one day. Imagine how many in a week. Imagine how much time in the month. Imagine how much time in a year. That adds up. Think about it, it adds up. And we have let that time just go, doing maybe futile things or something which is not profitable. Profitable. The word is profitable. Allah uses this word in the Quran a lot. Because, you know, mashallah, we are all business-minded people. We want profit. So let us just think about that. And the same example we can use if we commute or we go to school, college, university, or work, the time it takes to go there and back. That is a lot of time. That is a lot of time. If you do the sums in 1 month, in 1 year, you'll be surprised how much time that is. There was one lady, and I heard this on Radio 5 Live many years ago. There was one lady who was working Monday to Friday, and on Saturday, Sunday, she was studying, she was doing a degree. So she only had Saturday and Sunday to study. So that means she's got no day for herself. She's occupied for all 7 days. So then, she thought to herself that I commute 2 hours a day. 1 hour going to work, 1 hour back on the train. So she started using that time. While she's commuting to work and back, she used it for her studies. How many hours a week did she have studying on the train? 10 hours. So she freed up either 1 day of the weekend or both days she freed up for studying. And she did that, she finished her whole degree studying while she was commuting on the train, imagine. Now let's take us example. Let's say example, we commute on the train. How much Quran can we read? Whether we go by train or bus. And if you are driving to work, how much Quran can we hear whilst we are going to work? Let's think about it. To read the Quran, we will earn reward and the pleasure of Allah. By hearing the Quran, we shall also earn reward and the pleasure of Allah. Rather than hearing anything and everything, or rather than just reading the newspaper gossip every single day, which is total, you know, it pollutes your mind reading newspapers nowadays. It literally pollutes your mind. Reading the newspaper literally makes people depressed now. That is the kind of news you read. It's better off not to read. My point is, my dear brothers and sisters, we have to make use of our time. And one thing, if we can't find special time to do dhikr, then do it, use this time. Yes?
Yes.
The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gives an example of a person who does zikr and a person who doesn't do zikr. It's like a person who is alive and a person who is dead. If you do zikrullah on a regular basis, on a daily basis, it will keep your hearts alive. Spiritually, it will be alive. How can we remember Allah? One way we can remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, you know, to say subhanallah 100 times, example, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. The shortest durood sharif, if it comes to that, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Yes?
Yes.
Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu, let me finish that hadith off. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, oh, what were you just reading? So he said, I was reading la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, shall I not show you a treasure from the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah has a very, very powerful and a deep meaning. When we hear the adhan and the muadhin says, "Hayya ala salah." For everything else, we repeat it, but we don't repeat "Hayya ala salah," "Hayya ala al-falah." You know why? Because the fact is, to come for salah and to come to success, we are unable to do without the help of Allah subhanahu wa taala. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah means that anything good you want to do, you cannot do without the help of Allah. And from anything wrong and bad you want to refrain and stay away, you cannot stay away and refrain without the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the fact of the matter. That is the truth. So when you say hayya ala, when the muadhin says hayya ala salah, we do not repeat, we do not say hayya ala salah, we say, oh Allah, you are inviting us to salah, but the fact is that, oh Allah, I cannot come to salah unless you want me to come to salah. Unless your fadl and your rahmah and your mercy is not with me, until then I can't come. That's why we say, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And success come to success, we shall not able to achieve success unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it easy for us. That is why we say la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Another way how we can remember Allah. There's many ways. Just now we perform salah, we remembered Allah. Probably after a little while when I finish, a lot of you will pick up the Qur'an. You shall read the Qur'an. You are remembering Allah. Before Maghrib Adhan, many people will involve themselves in making dua. Again, you are remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you look at the sunnah du'as, which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to read on a daily basis from the time he woke up till he went to bed. Let's think for a moment. When a person wakes up, there is a dua. Then generally we go to the bathroom. Before we enter the bathroom, there's a dua. When we leave the bathroom, there's a dua. Then we generally wear our clothes. Before you wear a clothes, there is dua. Then we generally have breakfast. Before food, any food, there is a dua. Then when we finish breakfast, there is a dua. Then we generally leave our house to go to work or school, wherever. When you leave your house, there is a dua. If you sit in your car and you go to wherever, there is a dua. Just now you came into the masjid, there's a dua. When you leave the masjid, there's a dua. These du'as are all part of the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are part of remembering Allah. It is part of also thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is a way to give us a 5G connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We shouldn't just aspire to have 5G on our mobile. That is not the only aspiration we should have. We will live without 5G, I promise you. We will live and survive without having 5G. We will live. Some people might lose a plot for a few days, but they will slowly come back, I promise you. You know, there was a... there was a college or school in America, and the teacher asked her students who would like to participate. And they had, what it was, that for about 7 or 10 days, it was a trial. They had, if they wanted to participate in a trial or not, and some students volunteered. And they were 13, 14, 15 year olds. The trial was, who can give their mobile to the teacher for 7, 10 days? So they are mobile free.
سب سیدھر مکمل کرے اگلے سب پورا کرے اور خالی جگہ پورا کرے فل اپ دا گیپس اینڈ موو فارورڈ پلیز
اللہ اکبر اللہ اکبر اللہ اکبر اللہ اکبر اشہد ان لا الہ الا اللہ اشہد ان لا الہ الا اللہ اشہد ان محمد رسول اللہ اشہد ان محمد رسول اللہ حی علی الصلاح حی علی الصلاح حی علی الفلاح حی علی الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة اللہ اکبر اللہ اکبر لا الہ الا اللہ
اللہ اکبر اللہ اکبر سمع اللہ لمن حمدہ اللہ اکبر اللہ اکبر اللہ اکبر اللہ اکبر اللہ اکبر سمع اللہ لمن حمدہ اللہ اکبر اللہ اکبر اللہ اکبر اللہ اکبر Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Sami'a Allahu liman hamida. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Sami'a Allahu liman hamida. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Inshallah, after dua, there will be important bayan by Maulana Shaukat. Inshallah, you are all requested to participate. It will be very beneficial for all of us. And inshallah, we will get the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Day of Judgment. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahim.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wal aqibatu lil muttaqin was salatu was salam ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursalin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in amma ba'd. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Ala bi dhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يزال لسانك رطبا من ذكر الله او كما قال عليه الصلاه والسلام. Respected and honorable elders, my young friends and mothers and sisters who may be listening at home, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I would like to mention a very short hadith which probably some of you may have read or heard. It is a very interesting hadith which starts off with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says to the famous companion Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiyallahu anhu, Wallahi inni la uhibbuk. The Prophet ﷺ is telling Mu'adh ibn Jabal, it's not the other way around. He says, Wallahi, he takes an oath in the name of Allah and he says, indeed, I love you. Just let's pause for a moment. You know, if today someone famous or a very pious servant of Allah, a pious servant of Allah, they said this to us, would that not make us happy? Yes?
Yes.
Extremely happy. This is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying with his own tongue, with his own mouth, to a companion, Mu'adh ibn Jabal, that indeed do I love you. Subhanallah. That is priceless. It is enough for a person to be happy for the rest of their lives. And it is important, this is a sunnah. If you love someone, you should love someone for the sake of Allah, and you should also hate someone for the sake of Allah. If you love someone for the sake of Allah, you should tell them, as this is a sunnah. Our Prophet ﷺ did that. So the person can reciprocate in the same way as well. You understand? So if you love someone for the sake of Allah, you should tell them. I don't think so. This sunnah is very common amongst the Asian community. In other communities, I've heard it a few times. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says to him that do not leave to say the following supplication at the end of every salah. So at the end of every salah, do not forget, do not leave to read the following supplication. Before I mention the supplication, the dua, some scholars have interpreted this part of the hadith that it should be read at the end of salah before we do assalamu alaikum, assalamu alaikum. This is when we should read it. And some say you can also read it after the salam as well. Both views are correct, but I think the more preferred and the more correct view is that it should be read before the salam. Because it is a dua. And whatever you read after salam becomes a zikr. Yes, it becomes a zikr. So it's a big difference between zikr and dua. So you know, normally we finish the salah with tashahud and durud and Allahumma inni zalamtu. So you can also, if you want to add on Allah, the dua which I will mention, you can read that as well before we say assalamu alaikum. So the dua which Prophet ﷺ taught him and taught all of us to read is Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. A very beautiful, short, comprehensive dua. Three parts to the dua. And inshallah, we'll try to cover all three things, inshallah. So first of all, we are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us and to assist us in doing three things, because without the help, without the assistance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nothing is possible. Nothing is possible. We have come to the masjid for Salatul Asr. We didn't come with our own accord. We were invited by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to come. Hum aaye nahi, hum laaye gaye yahan par. It's a big difference. We should be extremely happy. We should count ourselves fortunate that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during this blessed month has invited us to His house. Imagine how many hundreds and thousands of people who have not able to pray their Salatul Asr inside the masjid with Jama'ah. Just think about it. But the fact Allah Ta'ala has chosen us, He has selected us. He has selected us. And we should thank Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala for that. And there are many ways how we can thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I shall mention them today, inshallah, if time permits me, inshallah. My dear brothers and sisters, in the 12th juz of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ. Allah says, listen. أَلَا in Arabic is to get someone's attention. The word Allah in the Arabic language is used to get someone's attention. So Allah says, Allah, listen. بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ, do hearts find satisfaction? Do hearts find sukoon? Do hearts find a peace of mind? Sukoon, contentment, satisfaction. Today we all want a peace of heart, a peace of mind. We all want sukoon. We want our hearts to be happy, relaxed. Yes? Tension-free. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if you want your heart to be like that, there is only one place you will find that. Your hearts will only find satisfaction and sukoon by you remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Zikrullah, the word Zikrullah, although we are normally we refer to Zikrullah as doing a wird of certain words, but Zikrullah is not just restricted to the tasbih or the certain words we repeat. It is not just restricted to that. Someone said something very beautiful. They said, every time a person obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are a dhakir. Ya dhakir means someone who remembers Allah. They said, every time you obey, you are obedient to Allah, that means you are a dhakir. You know, example. Let's say example. This is only an example, okay? A person was about to go, he took his phone out and he wanted to go on a certain wrong website. Yes?
Yes.
He was about to do it. He had 100% intention to go on the wrong website. Okay? And then he thought to himself, Ya, it's Ramadan, man. I'm fasting. It's Ramadan. So, it is Ramadan because Allah has made it Ramadan. He is fasting because Allah has told him to fast. So in essence, he didn't go on that website because of who? Because of Allah. Is he a dhakir or not? Is he a dhakir or not? Yes. Because the thought of Allah came to his mind, which stopped him or her doing that wrong action. So every time you obey Allah and you refrain from disobedience of Allah, in reality that person is a dhakir, because whatever good they did and whatever wrong they refrained from was only because of the thought of Allah coming to their minds. Yes or no? So that person is a dhakir. And dhikr, the actual dhikr of remembering Allah, is so unique to other forms of worship, other forms of ibadat. In example, lest we are in the month of Ramadan. Only in the month of Ramadan is fasting compulsory. No other month in the Islamic calendar is fasting compulsory. Yes? Then in the month of Ramadan, from dawn till sunset, fasting is compulsory. You shouldn't start before dawn, and you shouldn't continue fasting after sunset. This is a fixed time. It doesn't matter how pious you are. It doesn't matter what a big buzrug you are, what a big sheikh you are. You are not allowed to fast after sunset. Yes or no? The hadith says, when it is sunset, break your fast. Don't delay in breaking your fast. It doesn't matter how pious you are. So again, the time is restricted. The month of fasting is also restricted. Let's take Asr Salah. Asr Salah has four sunnat, four farad. And someone is really geared up. They're in that mode of worshipping Allah, and they're thinking, because I'm in that mode, I'm going to pray extra two more rakats of Asr. I'll make it 10 instead of 8. Is it allowed? No. It's not allowed. Allah has fixed it. You have to just pray that much. Doesn't matter how big shot you think you are. When it comes for Hajj, doesn't matter how much money you have, how much free time you have, Hajj is in a fixed Islamic month, in the fixed days. Okay? You can't do it in any month or any day of any month. No, it's a prescribed month and the prescribed days. When it comes to dhikr, Allah says, وَالذَّاكِرِينَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا وَالذَّاكِرَاتِ. Allah says, الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ. Subhanallah. When it comes to dhikr, there's no limit. The sky is your limit. When it comes to salah, there's a limit. When it comes to fasting, there's a limit on how the time you can fast. The month you can fast is, everything has a limit. Zakat is a fixed amount of zakat, 2.5%. But when it comes to dhikr, the sky is your limit. Do dhikr as much as you can. My sheikh told us once, itna zikr karo, itna zikr karo ke log tumko pagal ko keh de. Do so much dhikr that people start to think that you've lost the plot, you've gone mad. That is how much dhikr you should do. And dhikr is so unique that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, those people who remember Allah standing, sitting, even lying down. Look how flexible Allah is. When it comes to dhikr, look how flexible Allah is. Very flexible. Normally people are in one of the three positions normally. They are either standing, sitting or lying down. I'll be very surprised if there's another position people are in. But this is how unique and how flexible Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is when it comes to dhikr. You can do it as and when you like. No restriction, there's no time limit. You know, for example, when it's zawal time, can you pray salah when it's zawal time, midday? No. When it comes to dhikr, no restriction. Do as much as you can. Once a companion came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that, you know, there are so many injunctions, as I say, there are so many teachings, and I don't think so I will able to, you know, remember everything. Just give me one advice that I shall hold on to, that one advice for the rest of my life. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لا يزال لسانك رطبا من ذكر الله. If you want one advice, keep your tongues moist in the remembrance of Allah. What a beautiful advice. He didn't say keep your tongues moist in talking about politics or talking about football or, you know, doing backbiting or whatever. No, just keep your tongues moist in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there are so many things we can do wird of, we can supplicate, we can read, so many. Once the famous companion Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiyallahu anhu, he was walking behind the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and very, very softly he was reading la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, la hawla wa la quwwata. This is something which we should bring in our life. This is not a normal, these are not normal words, my dear brothers and sisters. These are words from the treasures which is underneath the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it has so many benefits, so many benefits. So he was very softly saying, repeating, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. You know, example, mashallah, probably all of you live close by to the masjid, yes? Some of you drive to the masjid, some of you walk to the masjid. Just that time when you come to the masjid and when you go back, rather than just let it go past doing nothing, use that time for dhikrullah. So it's not like you are taking that special time for dhikr. Sometimes people think, yeah, I'm so busy. Okay, you're busy. I know we live in London. I know we are busy, yes? But if you really ponder, you know, these small moments, for example, when you come to the masjid and when you go back, let's say, example, it takes you 5 minutes to come, 5 minutes to go back. That's 10 minutes. 5 times a day. That's 50 minutes in one day. Imagine how many in a week. Imagine how much time in the month. Imagine how much time in a year. That adds up. Think about it, it adds up. And we have let that time just go, doing maybe futile things or something which is not profitable. Profitable. The word is profitable. Allah uses this word in the Quran a lot. Because, you know, mashallah, we are all business-minded people. We want profit. So let us just think about that. And the same example we can use if we commute or we go to school, college, university, or work, the time it takes to go there and back. That is a lot of time. That is a lot of time. If you do the sums in 1 month, in 1 year, you'll be surprised how much time that is. There was one lady, and I heard this on Radio 5 Live many years ago. There was one lady who was working Monday to Friday, and on Saturday, Sunday, she was studying. She was doing a degree. So she only had Saturday and Sunday to study. So that means she's got no day for herself. She's occupied for all 7 days. So then she thought to herself that I commute 2 hours a day. 1 hour going to work, 1 hour back on the train. So she started using that time while she's commuting to work and back. She used it for her studies. How many hours a week did she have studying on the train? 10 hours. So she freed up either one day of the weekend or both days she freed up for studying. And she did that. She finished her whole degree studying while she was commuting on the train. Imagine. Now let's take us example. Let's take example, we commute on the train. How much Quran can we read? Whether we go by train or bus. And if you are driving to work, how much Quran can we hear whilst we are going to work? Let's think about it. To read the Quran, we will earn reward and the pleasure of Allah. By hearing the Quran, we shall also earn reward and the pleasure of Allah. Rather than hearing anything and everything, or rather than just reading the newspaper gossip every single day, which is total, you know, it pollutes your mind reading newspapers nowadays. It literally pollutes your mind. Reading a newspaper literally makes people depressed now. That is the kind of news you read. It's better off not to read. My point is, my dear brothers and sisters, we have to make use of our time. And one thing, if we can't find special time for to do dhikr, then do it, use this time. Yes?
Yes.
The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gives an example of a person who does zikr and a person who doesn't do zikr. It's like a person who is alive and a person who is dead. If you do zikrullah on a regular basis, on a daily basis, it will keep your hearts alive. Spiritually, it will be alive. How can we remember Allah? One way we can remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, you know, to say subhanallah 100 times, example, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. The shortest durood sharif, if it comes to that, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Yes?
Yes.
Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu, let me finish that hadith off. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa asked him, oh, what were you just reading? So he said, I was reading la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa said, shall I not show you a treasure from the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah has a very, very powerful and a deep meaning. When we hear the adhan and the muadhin says, "Hayya ala salah." For everything else, we repeat it, but we don't repeat "Hayya ala salah," "Hayya ala al-falah." You know why? Because the fact is, to come for salah and to come to success, we are unable to do without the help of Allah subhanahu wa taala. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah means that anything good you want to do, you cannot do without the help of Allah. And from anything wrong and bad you want to refrain and stay away, you cannot stay away and refrain without the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the fact of the matter. That is the truth. So when you say hayya ala, when the muadhin says hayya ala salah, we do not repeat, we do not say hayya ala salah, we say, oh Allah, you are inviting us to salah, but the fact is that, oh Allah, I cannot come to salah unless you want me to come to salah. Unless your fadl and your rahmah and your mercy is not with me, until then I can't come. That's why we say, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And success come to success, we shall not able to achieve success unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it easy for us. That is why we say la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Another way how we can remember Allah. There's many ways. Just now we perform salah, we remembered Allah. Probably after a little while when I finish, a lot of you will pick up the Qur'an. You shall read the Qur'an, you are remembering Allah. Before Maghrib Adhan, many people will involve themselves in making dua. Again, you are remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you look at the sunnah du'as, which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to read on a daily basis from the time he woke up till he went to bed. Let's think for a moment. When a person wakes up, there is a dua. Then generally we go to the bathroom. Before we enter the bathroom, there's a dua. When we leave the bathroom, there's a dua. Then we generally wear our clothes. Before you wear a clothes, there is dua. Then we generally have breakfast. Before food, any food, there is a dua. Then when we finish breakfast, there is a dua. Then we generally leave our house to go to work or school, wherever. When you leave your house, there's a dua. If you sit in your car and you go to wherever, there's a dua. Just now you came into the masjid, there's a dua. When you leave the masjid, there's a dua. These du'as are all part of the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are part of remembering Allah. It is part of also thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is a way to give us a 5G connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We shouldn't just aspire to have 5G on our mobile. That is not the only aspiration we should have. We will live without 5G, I promise you. We will live and survive without having 5G. We will live. Some people might lose a plot for a few days, but they will slowly come back, I promise you. You know, there was a... there was a college or school in America, and the teacher asked her students who would like to participate. And they had what it was that for about 7 or 10 days, it was a trial. They had if they wanted to participate in a trial or not, and some students volunteered. And they were 13, 14, 15 year olds. The trial was who can give their mobile to the teacher for 7, 10 days. So they are mobile free. Mobile free. Some students, they said yes, they gave their mobiles. After 7, 10 days, they interviewed the children, and these young children, they actually felt that their life was better. Their life was actually better quality. Their life was better quality without the mobile. It was a trial done in America. So back to the main point. When we read these du'as on a daily basis for different things, we are not just remembering Allah, we are also thanking Allah. Every time you start a du'a with Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, in reality you are also thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you are always keeping like a 5G connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Junaid Jamshed, rahimahullah. We all know Junaid Jamshed, yes? Before he, I shouldn't say accepted Islam as a Muslim. Before he changed his life, before he became a da'i and a muballigh, you know, mashallah, he was a very famous person, especially in Pakistan. He was very handsome, mashallah. He was very rich. And he could have got anything he wanted. And he pretty much had everything he wanted in terms of dunya and materialism. But his heart felt hollow. These are his words. These are his own words. I heard these words in a masjid in Southall many years ago when he came. There was an emptiness in his heart. Imagine. You know, imagine how famous he was. Today people, they become bloggers and bloggers and vloggers, whatever you call them. They become that to earn money, to become famous. They do all sorts of things. He was already famous. And like I said, he had so much money. He had big sponsorships. But yet, when he spoke to Maulana Tariq Jamil Sahib, he said to him that I feel that there is an emptiness in my heart, despite I've got everything. Why is that? Why? So then Maulana Tariq Jamil Sahib said to him, asal mein baat ye hai, the reality is that all everything you've got is connected to your body. Is connected to your body. You've got nothing in your life which is connected to your soul and your heart. In reality, your heart, you are starving your heart. You are not feeding your heart. When a person deprives their soul and their heart from the remembrance of Allah, then know that they are slowly starving their soul and their heart. They are slowly starving it. And this is exactly what Maulana Tariq Sahib told Marhum Junaid Jamshed rahimahullah. Because we are made up of body and soul. We are made up of body and soul. And the example is, you know, we are only worth that what our soul is worth. Remember, we are only worth that which our soul is worth. The example of that is you have a £1 million check inside an envelope. Okay? Until that £1 million check is inside the envelope, you will look after that envelope, because what is inside the envelope is valuable. Not the envelope, but what is inside the envelope is extremely valuable. Yes or no? Mobile free. Some students, they said yes, they gave their mobiles. After 7-10 days, they interviewed the children, and the children, these young children, they actually felt that their life was better. Their life was actually better quality. Their life was better quality without the mobile. It was a trial done in America. So back to the main point. When we read these du'as on a daily basis for different things, we are not just remembering Allah, we are also thanking Allah. Every time you start a du'a with Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, in reality you are also thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you are always keeping like a 5G connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Junaid Jamshed, rahimahullah. We all know Junaid Jamshed, yes? Before he, I shouldn't say accepted Islam as a Muslim. Before he changed his life, before he became a da'i and a muballigh, you know, mashallah, he was a very famous person, especially in Pakistan. He was very handsome, mashallah. He was very rich. And he could have got anything he wanted. And he pretty much had everything he wanted in terms of dunya and materialism. But his heart felt hollow. These are his words. These are his own words. I heard these words in a masjid in Southall many years ago when he came. There was an emptiness in his heart. Imagine. You know, imagine how famous he was. Today people, they become bloggers and bloggers and vloggers, whatever you know, call them. They become that to earn money, to become famous. They do all sorts of things. He was already famous. And like I said, he had so much money. He had big sponsorships. But yet, when he spoke to Maulana Tariq Jamil Sahib, he said to him that, I feel that there is an emptiness in my heart, despite I've got everything. Why is that? Why? So then, Maulana Tariq Jamil Sahib said to him, asal mein baat ye hai, the reality is that all everything you've got is connected to your body. Is connected to your body. You've got nothing in your life which is connected to your soul and your heart. In reality, your heart, you are starving your heart. You are not feeding your heart. When a person deprives their soul and their heart from the remembrance of Allah, then know that they are slowly starving their soul and their heart. They are slowly starving it. And this is exactly what Maulana Tariq Sahib told Marhum Junaid Jamshed rahimahullah. Because we are made up of body and soul. We are made up of body and soul. And the example is, you know, we are only worth that what our soul is worth. Remember, we are only worth that which our soul is worth. The example of that is, you have a £1 million check inside an envelope, okay? Until that £1 million check is inside the envelope, you will look after that envelope, because what is inside the envelope is valuable. Not the envelope, but what is inside the envelope is extremely valuable. Yes or no? Wanted to look at. What was the main thing Allah wanted to look at? Your soul, your ruh. After that, Marhum Junaid Jamshed rahimahullah, then he understood, and slowly he connected himself with the work of deen, with the work of tabligh and da'wah, And mashallah, the rest is history, as we know. So that is how important dhikrullah is. The second part of the dua which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught Hazrat Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiyallahu anhu was Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika, thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and wa husni ibadatik. The third part is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the most excellent way, in the most excellent manner. Inshallah, I shall continue this inshallah next week. Point number two, point number three, inshallah, we shall continue after next week, inshallah. Jazakallahu khairan. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.